I'm Ben Spatz.
I'll
take my time. So I want to say something in the spirit of a provocation. I don't know if it'll be too provocative, but I'm going to try to compress like maybe an argument into these 10 minutes. I want to say something about what the drawings or doodles or diagrams represent. If they're not abstract drawings on a page, then they refer to something. They refer to something or depict or represent or trace or document some thing. And I want to propose that at least in some cases, and maybe I could push and say many or all cases, but at least in some cases, that thing that they refer to is not the practice, is not the moment of practice, for example, a specific day where something happened or a specific rehearsal or a specific process. It's not that. It's something a little bit abstracted from that. And then I'll try to get to say why I think that's important in terms of what this issue is doing. So I've been trying for some time to apply the study of science to embodied practice and studio work, particularly sociology of science, history of science. And I'm doing that specifically rather than the language of science itself. So not what scientists say about what they're doing, but what sociologists and historians say about what scientists are doing. What scientists say, when scientists talk about what they're doing, they treat their objects of inquiry as very hard. And that's why we call it the hard sciences. And if we use the phrase hard sciences in general, that indicates that we kind of accept the story that the scientists tell about themselves, which is that their objects of inquiry are very hard. And then we can make a spectrum of hardness, where we then have the softer sciences, and then we have the humanities, where the objects of inquiry are very soft and woolly. And then we have the arts, where in a romantic paradigm, there's no object of inquiry. We've arrived all the way to the place where what's produced is something totally unique, the unique practice or the unique genius of the individual or the unique work of art, and so there isn't really an object of inquiry. So we can have this spectrum. One of the things that I think this issue is doing that I really value very much is getting at a kind of middle ground in terms of this hardness or softness of the objects of inquiry in these practices. And I think it's moving away a little bit, almost pushing back against a previous tendency that was all the way at the extreme end of, in a kind of romantic paradigm, that there was no object of inquiry. And I think that's, I'm referring to like the idea of the performing, the performance as ephemeral, the ephemerality of dance, the ephemerality of practice, but also to what the photograph does, where a photograph, because it's so detailed, really does draw you very often, not all photographs, but a photograph, a general photograph of, like, if you think of a documentation photograph, can draw you very much to the individual practitioner, and even to that moment, right, because you see what the light was like and what chair it was. It's so detailed that it brings us all the way to, we can't see a separate object of inquiry, because we just see that person in that moment. But with diagrams and doodles, there's a degree of abstraction, and there's many kinds of abstraction, which is what we saw in this wonderful typology, is all these very different kinds of abstraction, which is the whole focus here. But whatever the drawing is, it doesn't go all the way to the extreme of the individual. It produces a kind of abstraction. There's a kind of object of inquiry or object of practice that emerges, whether it's an exercise or a process, that's separated from the practitioner. And so I think in the context of earlier discourse about performance that said it was totally ephemeral, or the romantic idea that of the event, the unique event, there's a movement towards a little bit of a hardening of the object of inquiry. That's a separation of the object of inquiry from the practitioner and from the specific practice. And I think that's still kind of controversial, which is why I said I'm speaking in the spirit of a polemic, but I think it actually is quite important. I brought as a show-and-tell object one of the books that I've been looking at, which is a study of science from a perspective of someone who, well, he was a scientist, the German Hans-Jürg Reinberger. He was a scientist, but then he became a historian of science, and so he shifted out of the science conversation and said, moved into the history of science conversation, and is therefore looking to soften the objects of science, to not just take the scientists at their word at how hard the objects are, but to get a middle ground. And he has a wonderful little essay again. I brought it as a show and tell because, in case anyone wants to look at it, a little essay called The Economy of the Scribble, which is about the scribbles that come out of scientific laboratories. And because of the softening quality, right? So he's taking the attention off of the science journal publications, where they declare the hardness of the objects of inquiry, and they say, we have found the Higgs boson. It exists. And he's looking instead at the economy of the scribble, and there's a few illustrations, not too many, but we have like this kind of page of handwriting diagram type stuff. And he's softening the objects of scientific inquiry in a way that, for me, speaks directly to what I'm trying to do in hardening the objects of embodied practice. Because there's a kind of middle ground that we can meet. And I'll read you one paragraph just to give you a flavor. Laboratories as spaces of knowledge production generate a wealth of such primary scriptural traces, excerpts from scientific literature, notes on basic concepts, fragmentary ideas or striking correlations, sketches of experimental setups, running data from a single set of experiments, tentative interpretations of experimental results, and corrections of such interpretations, provisional calculations, calibration protocols of existing instruments, designs for new equipment, and so on. These and many other traces of research activity are invaluable sources for historical analysis. They lie between the materialities of experimental systems and the conceptual concepts that leave the immediate laboratory context behind in the guise of sanctioned research reports. So this kind of writing, which you find in all the social studies of the sciences, I find really powerful in thinking about embodied practice because of this project to soften the objects of inquiry from their perspective, which for me indicates a possibility of hardening the objects of inquiry, or which in the first instance is merely a case of saying there are objects of inquiry. So, as I said at the beginning, these traces, these documents, these diagrams are not depicting, or not only depicting, my practice or your practice or what you did on that day, but they're depicting something else. They're depicting some object of inquiry, some structure of practice, which is to some degree, this is the question of how hard it is, to some degree separable from the practitioner, from the unique moment, from the unique practice, from the unique body. To some degree, separable. Why is that important? What does that do? Well, in this writing on science, there's this idea that laboratories or experimental systems or structures of experimentation are machines for making the future. And this phrase, machines for making the future, comes about because of the historical fact, that in the laboratory, you can do very small, detailed things, but because those things are separable from the individuals who are practicing them and from that specific event, because of that separability, that reliability, what you do, even if it's tiny and detailed, can transform the whole world. If it was not separable, if it was just like I did something in my body and it happened, then it wouldn't have this kind of world-making possibility. It has the possibility because it's separate, because the object of inquiry is separable. It has this, what I called hardness before. So I think that if we don't put our attention a bit on this other level of kind of things that are depicted by these drawings and doodles, which are not the practice, but which are the object of inquiry, or I call it the technique, the structure of practice. If we don't look at that, I think we're missing an opportunity to articulate and to think about the importance of what's happening in those spaces as machines for making the future, or maybe not machines, but as processes for making the future. Because the way it's going to make the future, if it is, and so the corollary of that is if we look at these diagrams, we can see possible futures. Not just things that happened and traces of things that happened, but what if those were the structures by which the world was organized? What if the main categories of education were the Laban effort qualities? Well, that would be one kind of world. What if the main categories for institutions in the world were types of song, well, that would be another kind of a world. And maybe those are extreme visions of the world, but the world is mapped in those ways. And so I think when we look at these diagrams, we can look at that middle layer as a source of possible worlds.